Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
God wants to honor your homes. God wants to honor your families. And so God gives us some direction. And when we surrender to that direction, we put ourselves under the favor of God. And when we fight against that, we put ourselves on the outs, where we are not in the place where God can reach out and bless us.
The book of Ephesians has much to say about marriage, about husbands and wives, about leaders, strengths, sharing your gifts, submitting, and surrendering. If you're interested in what the Bible has to say about marriage, and you're ready to hear how God's perfect design for marriage works, you've tuned in at just the right time. Turn with us to Ephesians chapter 5. Here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
Father, we pray that you would bless this time as our hearts are to do marriage your way. We want you to be glorified, we want you to be lifted up, and we want you to be blessed. And we thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Marriage and the family were both God's idea. A man and a woman marrying one another, God said, for this reason, a man and a woman shall leave their father and mother, and the two shall cleave together and become one flesh. God didn't have to do the family unit the way that he did it. He could have done it anyway, but he decided to do it the way he did it, I think for a few reasons. Because I think that the family unit is an analogy to spiritual things. The husband and a wife are an analogy in the Old Testament of God the Father and the nation of Israel. There were places that God talked about Israel being an unfaithful wife, and they were meant to be faithful. I also think the monogamous thing, that God put us together to be faithful to one another, is an analogy, a picture of Israel that was supposed to be faithful to God. But we forward into the New Testament and we find the same analogy is there. One of my favorite analogies for the church, you have the body of Christ and you have the bride of Christ. We have that same analogy. God, Jesus, is the bridegroom, and we are the bride, and God made it that way, a monogamous way, that there could be an analogy. Also, he gave us a family, that in the confines of that, you would have children, and we are the children of God. And so that each of us have had earthly fathers, most of them hopefully doing the best job that they could do, but each one of us that have come to Christ, we now have a heavenly father. And we who have children understand what we would do for our kids and the special love that we have for our children, and understand that when we are adopted into the family of God, that God has a special love for us as well. And so this whole thing is God's design and God's plan, and it helps to reveal spiritual things to us. We understand our heavenly Father better. We understand the body of Christ better because of the family analogy that God's given us. And I want to remind you, and we began to talk about this last week, but in verse 21 of Ephesians chapter 5, it says simply, submitting to one another in the fear of God, submitting to one another. Throughout the New Testament, there's the concept and the idea of us submitting to each other. The Bible says in Hebrews to obey those who are ruling over you, speaking of pastors. The Bible says in another place to submit to the elders of the church. The Bible says in Romans 13 that we are to submit to the authorities because God has them in place for our peace and our safety. Submitting is a part of what we do. And when we talk about submission in the home, husbands submit to wives, and children submit to fathers, and children submit to mothers, and husbands submit to their children as well. I love a passage out of, I guess it's 1 Peter. I was looking it up a little bit today and I got distracted. But I love the passage that says, if there is any wise among you, and then it says a couple things, and it says, yield therefore to one another. Be willing to yield. That if we are wise, we're willing to yield to each other. I think that's a real mark of spiritual maturity. That when we walk with the Lord and we really are wise and we really are spiritual, we're willing to yield to one another. And so now when we come to the role of the wife and immediately the word submission is used, it has become a problem for pastors to teach it and for women who hear it. and we want to really understand what God's saying. First of all, I want to say that this is not my opinion. I'm not telling you what I think the role of a man and a woman should be. We are studying what the Bible says. I love that every time Billy Graham got into this section, he said what he said most often. The Bible says women should submit to their husbands. And I think that's good for us to remember that if you get upset at this section, then you're getting upset at what God has to say. I also want to say this, that God wants to honor your homes. God wants to honor your families. And so God gives us some direction. And when we surrender to that direction, we put ourselves under the favor of God. And when we fight against that, we put ourselves on the outs where we are not in the place where God can reach out and bless us. And so when he introduces this concept, he has told us who we are in Christ. And then he's talked about our Christian conduct in broader terms. And now he's going to narrow it down through this and into chapter 6. He narrows it down to how we live in certain situations. And so he says, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, that is Christ. Therefore, just as Christ is subject, the church is subject to Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything. Now, remember that this has nothing to do with equality. And it has nothing to do with capability. We're all uniquely gifted, uniquely talented, and after a while we become uniquely skilled. We can work at things and we can become skilled. Some of us are gifted, just right out of the chute, we can do something and we're very good at that area. Some of us are talented. It takes us a little bit of work, but we just have a natural talent, might be raw in the beginning, but you work into it later on. It has nothing to do with those. Some men are better at some things than other men, and some women are better than men in other things. When we talk about the role of a wife in a marriage, it has nothing to do with capabilities. I have heard this taught before. I have heard, well, women are built one way and men are built another way. And I mean, there's a physical way in which that's true, we understand. But women are built one way and men are built another way, and men are built to take a certain amount of weight and understand certain things, and women are built to take other things and understand other things. And I think when I hear them saying that they're saying something like, they're good at cleaning, they're good at having babies, they're good at cooking, but men are good at going out and making a living and understanding finances. That's kind of what they're saying. I disagree with that completely. I believe that women at times are far more capable than men. And I think that a man who doesn't take advantage of the strengths of his wife, because you two become one, if he is so prideful that he can't take advantage of where the woman may do something that is better than what he does it, then you're not going to have the strengths of the two joining together in one. Two are better than one for several reasons. When it comes to design, I've kind of got an eye for it. So me and my wife will often come to places where we disagree on design. When we're hanging something on the wall, I'll feel strongly it needs to go here. She feels strongly it needs to go there. It's only 4 inches and 4 inches, but we're both kind of stuck. No, I think it's got to go there. Otherwise, you look like you're cramping the switch. No, it needs to go back over here because that's the balance of the entire wall. But when it comes to colors, because I am colorblind and because my wife is a super seer when it comes to colors. Any of you gals like that? You're super seers. Not only do you see gray, when I look at something, it's gray. And my wife's like, it's got a little tint of blue in it. Or it's got a little tint of red in there. And I'm like, it looks gray to me. She'll look up at the sky and go, do you see the pink? Not really. I kind of see, I don't know what I see. I see something. I see light shining through something, but I don't know that I see pink. So when it comes to colors, and I got this color picked out, that color I'm going to buy our little ottoman in that color. More power to you, whatever you want to do. I realize that that is her strength and I have nothing to do with it. I think I've learned to respect her role as seeing something and putting something together well, but she's also learned to respect mine when it comes as an eye to be able to see what a room should look like in the balance of a room. And that's the way that marriages, to use that as an analogy of the way that marriages are supposed to work. The role of submission here is not anything to do with being adequate in any way, shape, or form, because all kinds of people and all kinds of women and all kinds of men are adequate at different levels. It has to do with God putting things under authority. And we are all under authority. There's not a person who isn't. We are under authority, again, to the elders of the church, as the Bible says. We're under authority to rulers. We're under authority to police officers. And God has set it up so that there would be a head in the body, because it is a picture of Christ and the Father. Just as Jesus is submissive to the Father, and see, if Jesus is willing to submit to the Father, then he's asking women to be submissive to their husbands in the same way that Jesus was submissive to the Father. And since Jesus did not think it equal robbery to be equal with God, it's not saying that women are not in all way, shape, and form equal with a man. If that were so, it would put Jesus down underneath the Father. Also, if Jesus was willing to submit, then who are we to say, when it comes time for us to submit, I'm not going to submit? If Jesus led the way by submitting, then we want to make sure that we can submit unto him as well. Now, I can see women saying, Jesus submitted to the Father who is perfect, and my husband is not perfect. And so it was a lot easier for Jesus to submit to the Father because my husband isn't perfect. And let's just address that now. Let's address when there is a time when women should not submit to their husbands. It doesn't say submit to the, it says submit to the husbands in everything, but it doesn't take it out of the rest of the scriptures. When your, if your husband or your parents were to say, do something that is illegal, you do not have to submit to that. We're talking about extremes here. How often would it be that a husband may ask a wife to do something illegal? I don't know. Maybe if he's asking her to sign a tax return or something that's not quite honest and she feels like she shouldn't do it. If the husband isn't, I'm going to try to use some nice terms here for men. If I want to say, if a husband's an idiot, you don't have to do what he says. That's what I want to say. But I didn't say that. I just said what I want to say, but I didn't. If there are addiction issues and addiction behavior, so what happens with addiction is someone begins to think about themselves and themselves alone. They see everyone around them as a resource for themselves. They're not looking out for anyone. Someone who's addicted will take advantage of their wife. Someone who is addicted will take advantage of their children. Someone who is addicted will take advantage of their family members, because all they see you for is a resource. And it takes a while. I have a family member who is addicted, and I thought I was going to be able to straighten her out. I really and truly did. And I finally had to back away and just say, Lord, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to handle it, because all she wanted from me was for me to give her money. That was it. She wanted absolutely nothing else to do with me outside of those realms. And so if you're living in an extreme situation, if a husband is physically harming you, then you get out. Do not stay in that situation. And don't let anybody, any pastor, tell you that you need to stay because Jesus said, unless there's sexual sin, you have to leave. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, Paul says, I tell you that a man and a woman ought to not leave one another. And Jesus told you that when Jesus said, unless there's sexual sin, stay together. But Paul says, but I tell you, if you do separate, then remain single or look to be reconciled. So there are reasons why women would separate from men. I think addiction falls on those lines. I think physical abuse falls along those lines. I think emotional abuse could fall upon those lines, because a husband is supposed to love a wife and surrender himself to her, thinking of her first, even as Christ thought of us first, enough to be able to die for us on the cross. So there could be severe reasons why a woman would say, I'm putting myself out from under this, but that's severe. Other than that, I believe that there needs to be some, respect. And we'll talk more about that particular word here in a few minutes. So when he says, wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord, I think there's a couple of different ways we could hear that. I think, first of all, husbands could hear, submit to the wives, submit to your husband as unto the Lord. And husbands here, that means that I have complete, it's as under the Lord. That means you do whatever I say. That's how husbands would like to hear that. That means if I want that boat, I'm getting that boat. No matter what you say. That means whatever I want, I get. Wives here submit as unto the Lord, as them being able to say, well, I'm supposed to submit as unto the Lord. And that's when he's telling me what Jesus would tell me to do. So if he tells me something that's not as unto the Lord, what Jesus would tell me to do, then I don't have to do it. Then a woman's making a judgment, is what you're telling me from God or not? Then you get to choose what you're going to submit yourself to or not. And I think that this term, women submit unto your husbands as unto the Lord, is not either of them. It means that when you surrender to your husband to lead and to guide, that you are saying, I am submitting to you, and it is as unto the Lord. It's a service from my heart as unto the Lord. The Lord always has the say over your husband. If your husband is telling you to do something that God doesn't want you to do, then you don't do what God, you do. The Bible's clear. It says you should obey God rather than man. Even if that, oh, you guys giggling at me now. You guys feeling like I'm uncomfortable? That the Bible's clear. You should obey God over man. And that's even in the marriage home. All right. But there does need to be that heart of submission to say, I am going to submit unto my husband. I'm going to let him take the role of leadership. Have you guys ever went out and had dancing lessons? You know, one of the first things that happens when a husband and wife go out for dancing lessons is the wife wants to lead. And it takes a while to really be able to settle in. You say, well, he's not leading. It's almost the same kind of a thing. It takes a while because there's some subtleness into the direction that things are going. But pretty soon, you're able to dance. Now, it may take a few lessons, and some are better at it than others, but pretty soon, when you get the idea, he's going to give me subtle cues, I'm going to learn to pick up those subtle cues, and I'm going to learn to go the direction that he wants me to go, and then there's a dance. Just like there has to be a leader when you dance, if there's not, one going one way, one's going the other way, there's got to be a leader in the marriage as well. There's got to be one who gives subtle cues. Now, if you as a husband have to say, I'm the boss and you got to do what I say, that's not subtle cues. Neither do I think that you're the leader. When you say, I'm the leader, you're not. You've given it up. Anytime you have to say, I'm the leader, you've lost leading. By the way, I say the same thing to pastors when I give when I'm teaching at pastors' conferences, that as a pastor, if you ever just say, I'm the pastor, I'm in charge, you're really not. You've given all of that up. Anytime that you have to say that, you've lost it. Those who lead have to lead from a place of strength and have to learn how to lead in a wise way. And the same thing, when someone is learning how to dance, they've got to be able to learn how to give those subtle cues for which way they're going to go. And after a while, because you guys work together, you pick those cues up and something beautiful comes out of it. And so it is in the home when you learn to submit as unto the Lord. And so it says, wives, be submissive unto your husband, for the husband is the head of the wife. Again, there just needs to be a leader. Also, as Christ is the head of the church, for he is the savior of the body. And none of us have a problem following Jesus because Jesus showed that he died for us, that he has our best interest in mind. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their husbands in everything. That means, women, that you're letting your husband make some decisions and lead the way. It means you back off enough to let him be able to lead the way. Doesn't mean you don't give input. Doesn't mean that when a mistake isn't being made, that you make yourself be known a little bit stronger. It means that you back up a little bit and you let him lead. Just like when you're taking dancing lessons and you need to back up a little bit. You know, he's not got the step down. He ain't going the right way. He's not doing the right thing. But you back up a little bit and you let him lead and you let him pick it up and you let him begin to learn how to do it and learn to do it effectively. Now, there are three words that are given to women that are here. We have submit, we have subject, and there was one more word in here that I wanted to point out. Well, we have two words here for the women, and there's one word that is said three times. Oh, I got it. I got where it is. All right. So in 22, it's submit. In 25, it's love. And we're going to come down in the very last verse in 33, it's respect. So when you are submitting to your husband, you submit, you subject, and you respect your husband. I realize that sometimes it's impossible to respect someone in those extreme cases. And there might be times when you have to say, I'm not going to put myself in that role, because financially we would be bust if there's an extreme case. But we're talking about not in the extremes. There is one word that men are told for their wives three times. That's in verse 25, love your wives. In verse 28, love their own wives. And again, a little ways down in verse 33, so love his own. So women are told these three different things: submit, subject, and respect. And men are told to love, love, and love. And the word for love here is the word agape love. Some have described it as God's love, but it's really not, because the Bible says you can agape things that you shouldn't agape. It says people can agape money. They can have that commitment and love towards money. Agape is an unconditional kind of love. I will love no matter what. When someone agape something they shouldn't agape, they are making a commitment to a thing that they shouldn't make a commitment to. It's not a matter of feelings. It's not romantic feelings. Those are great. Those should be there. They should be kindled, right? But that's not what this love is about. It's about you making a decision to love your wife. If you say, well, I just don't love my wife anymore, well, then you're in sin. Because love is a decision. Love is a commitment. And you say, I will love you. And if you've got to go to God and say, Lord, I need to make this commitment again to you and to my wife that I will love her in everything that I have. And so it gives a little bit more direction for the husbands. And if the husbands will fulfill his part, it makes the wives' part a whole lot easier in loving their husband. Because I think women need to have that love. It's not that men don't need to be loved. But it is interesting to me that the Bible never says women agape your husbands. The Bible says women phileo your husbands. The word phileo, we get the city of Philadelphia from it, a city of brotherly love. It's translated kindness in the Bible. So if you take the stand back and look at the Word of God, the Bible says, husbands, love your wives with a deep and total commitment. Wives, be nice to your husbands. That's what it's saying. It isn't that you aren't supposed to agape your husbands, because the Bible says, love one another. The Bible gives us direction that we are to love each other, and that love would be even so much more in our houses, right? In our homes, in our family, and those who are close to us. We're going to love a stranger and not love your husband. So the command to agape love is there, but he emphasizes, when he's emphasizing love in the marriage, he emphasizes agape to men and he emphasizes phileo to women. He says in verse 25, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. Now, let's just talk about that for a moment. If you are to love your wives the way that Christ loves the church and gave himself for her, that means that this is a self-sacrificing love. And if we compare the leadership of Jesus to our leadership, Jesus never made demands on people. Jesus told people how they ought to live. Jesus allows us freedom to be able to make mistakes. His way is always the right way. Ours is not always the right way. But if we are to love the way that Jesus loves, it is full of self-sacrifice.
We hope you've been blessed by Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Chapel, Tucson. It is our prayer that our Bible teachings would help you to understand and apply God's powerful word to your life every day. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com, where you'll find recordings of weekly services at Calvary Tucson and also archives of Practical Christian Living programs. We are grateful for your donations that help fund the production and broadcast of Practical Christian Living. If this ministry has blessed you and you'd like to support it with your financial gift of any amount, please mail your donation to Calvary Tucson, PCL Radio, 5170 South Julian Drive, that's J-U-L-I-A-N, Tucson, Arizona, 85706. If you live in the Tucson area or you're ever visiting our community, we'd love for you to stop by one of our two campuses in East or Southwest Tucson. We'd love to have you visit for Bible study and drop into our Solid Ground coffee shop and bookstore. You can find service times online at calvarytucson.com. May you walk in the grace and peace of Jesus today.